Welcome to the Limitless Being Podcast. I am Danielle Sharkey, your host, here to be a guide on this journey of life. This is a space cultivated with the intentions of connection, vulnerability, spirituality, limitless knowledge, explorative conversations, and unlimited potential. I am here to spread love while activating freedom within the collective consciousness. I am a digital nomad, an entrepreneur, and a magnetic spiritual being here to help you activate your power so that you can cultivate the life of your dreams. This container I have created is a safe space for us all to have conversations which lead us toward liberation, acceptance, and radical love of yourself. If you have found this podcast, it is by no accident. You have been guided here because there's a part of you who's ready to stop making excuses and live the life you've imagined. So join me and my guests here every Thursday.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Limitless Being Podcast. I'm super, super excited to have my guest, Fabian Gray. I found his content on TikTok and started just looking into some of his work and felt that it was very, very aligned with a lot of my beliefs and what I teach, and reached out, and luckily it worked out perfectly to have you on the podcast. So welcome, Fabian. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Of course. All right. So I always like to start off by, you know, talking about people's journeys, right? And clearly you are somebody that is spiritual or spiritually inclined, and you are a teacher of many things. So I would love to hear a little bit about your journey in the last few years of coming onto this path, so to speak, and what that path feels like, or how you would describe that path.
Bumpy. Yeah, lots of twists and turns, really. I wasn't born a particularly spiritual individual. I didn't grow up in a religious household or household of faith. My parents didn't really push any views on me at all. They left me to explore the world, which was a wonderful opportunity for me. I always was like, you know, the first to answer the door to the Jehovah's Witness to sort of challenge their views. And I didn't really know. I was rooted in my own arrogance, trying to sort of, I guess, you know, allow them to see their ignorance rather than be, I didn't see actually, I was just super curious about the ways that people could view the world. And anyway, so I left home at 17 thinking I was sort of chasing the glistening lights of the modeling industry, the acting industry. And little did I know it was going to be the beginning of my spiritual journey, leaving home at 17, very young. And I suppose through
for you?
East Midlands, I grew up primarily. So I moved to London, and then, you know, I moved all over the world. I was very, very lucky. And I suppose, like many of us, through deep suffering, my darkest hours, really, like, the people that I thought were supposed to have the answers for me didn't. And my loved ones, the doctors, and all of these sorts of things. So I had to seek something else. And I naturally began to talk to the sunset, actually. And I found deep solace in that. And that was really the beginning of me regularly communicating with something divine. Yeah, really it was. It's a beautiful memory, because now I have this like loving, I mean, we all watch the sunset, we all love the sunrise, right? But I just remember like my darkest times and the beginning of expressing myself and hearing my words. I suppose it's the beginning of my prayer life almost. And yeah, here I am now. Here I am. That was, I suppose, it was 4 years ago. I had a chaotic spiritual awakening, and from then on, it was like, that was the forefront of my life. I really just, everything else was just like chasing outside of myself. Of course, it was day by day. It's this shedding. It's this realization of what even that means. It's changing all the time. what it means to me to chase outside, but it was like the realization that God is real, and I wanted to understand that at depth and at length. Yeah.
So you started seeking something outside of yourself or outside of the world that you were living in. Were you like a successful model and actor? Were you living in LA or London, or you were in the scene really deeply?
100%. I mean, I wouldn't particularly say I was successful, but I traveled the world. I lived in China, Tokyo, Korea, New York, LA. I did the rounds, and very young. And I had a series of traumatic things happen to me and experiences that I had. And I didn't actually have any money at all. And it was this constant like frustration and yearning. You know, I always knew how to strive and to get ahead. And I wanted to prove something to my parents, which and to the people that, you know, I grew up around. It was this sort of like leap of faith in a sense of, you know, I always felt inadequate. And so this is going back to the Jehovah's Witness thing, is that I had this sense of superiority because actually I felt deeply inferior to my peers. And everything about me wasn't everything. The true essence of what I am was always rejected because I'm, you know, I have ADHD, OCD, very hyper, very passionate. all of the things that don't really bode well in a classroom, right? As you grow up with this, you know, your parents sort of, you know, I have very loving parents. I'm a lucky individual, but you can't help as a young man and how it's being processed in you that you're not accepted for who you are, that there's something wrong with you, right? And so then you grow up with this shame and guilt for the essence of what you are, which has obviously ended up becoming a great gift because now I've, you know, deepened in my compassion, let's say. But yeah.
Wow. So the industry is kind of what brought a lot of the darkness, and the darkness is what prompted the awakening for you.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Talk about, obviously, you're very open and you're very transparent, which I respect a lot. So thank you. Thank you for that. I think it's so important for people, especially people who have like big followings and are teaching, to be transparent about the process. It's not easy. Being awakening is not easy. It's dark. There's many dark nights, and it's also very light. But just like you said, it fluctuates. It's bumpy. I would love for you to share, if you're open to it, the specific moment, maybe the last straw, if you will, that prompted the awakening of like, I'm assuming here, but something along the lines of, I can't do this anymore. There has to be another way. What was that for you?
So I moved, I was managing a cafe in London, central London, in Angel, and COVID happened. So I moved back home and brought my Belgian friend with me. And I started working at this supermarket, and I went on ADHD medication. I had a series of, you know, successes and failures while I was growing up in London and in the industry. But I felt that I had this shame about who I was and where I, you know, was, because I hadn't done any shadow work. I hadn't realized the truth of what I am yet. Mm-hmm. And I was looking outside of myself for answers, right? So I was taking ADHD medication. I got put on Vyvanse. And my parents got divorced throughout COVID, and so my family split apart. I was under an incredible amount of stress, and let alone the nervous system and my ADHD meds, I had the most incredible, chaotic, beautiful, painful experience that, you know, I was lucky enough to endure. But yeah, that was really it. I think my parents divorced, to give you the simple answer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Vyvanse, Adderall, all of those things. I think there's so many of us as well. Would you consider yourself like a highly sensitive person, or like...
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So there's also that interesting correlation with the people that are diagnosed with ADHD or on the autistic spectrum or OCD, that also, you know, have very, very extremely high sensitivity or can be incredibly empathetic or even psychic as well, right? So it's like somebody that I believe that we all have different brains. We're all wired differently, regardless if you have some diagnosis or not. And then to be put into that box, put on the medication that actually amplifies your nervous system and can even make your sensitivities even more heightened. I've been there. I went through that when I was younger as well. So thank you for sharing that part of your story, because I also think there's a lot of people that have gifts and sensitivities and again go into the system and are told there's something wrong with them and they need.
I'm working with people all the time, and I posted this on social media recently. I was like, the only thing that's, you know, the only thing that's wrong with you is the idea that you think there's something wrong with you, and stop focusing on what's wrong with you and just go for what it is that you want. I spent so much time sort of trying to figure out why I wasn't where I wanted to be instead of charging full speed ahead and allowing that to be a form of self-love for me that actually, but I mean, you know, there's a lot to be said that I had to go through that, right? Because I had to unpack all of my crap, and I can't expect people to just understand that overnight. But I'm working with people now, and, you know, I've had friends and I've had clients that they just, through a shift in perspective, because ultimately love and a new perspective is all my heart is trying to offer, they are like pulled into a new like realm almost. And I see. And then like the whole belief thing, like, you know, I spoke about it in one of my videos about how, you know, somebody with multiple personality disorder was like, one of his personalities was allergic to onions and the other one wasn't. It's like, what is that all about? Why is everybody not talking about
that? The mind is so powerful. Like, that shows you exactly his one personality believes he was allergic, therefore he was. And that's incredible. So
it's fascinating to me.
Absolutely. The mind is superhuman. We have so many superpowers that so many of us haven't even began to tap into, right? And when you do, you see that the entire world is merely just a reflection of your belief system, what you believe you're worthy of. But of course, I would have never gotten to where I am today and where I continue to go without mentors, guides coming into my life, whether they be heaven sent or, you know, manifested or invested in.
Well, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, exactly. Right? May I ask you, Danielle, I don't want to ruin your train of thought, but what's your story and like what sort of brought you here today? I'm really interested to see and hear.
Well, I mean, everything that a lot of the things that you're saying, I'm just like, yep, me too. Yep, me too. Yep, me too. My story started a little bit younger. When I was 15 years old, my mom got very, very sick right after my parents got divorced. And at the time, you know, from middle school into high school, they were trying to, you know, I was very rebellious, also didn't fit in the school system, like would just didn't like being told what to do and knew when things weren't right for me. And when my mom got sick, that was like, oof, that was really, really, really hard for me. And it just kind of, it made the feeling of not belonging and feeling like I'm an outcast or like there, you know, there's not a place in the world that I fit. It made that even harder and even darker. And so I just started kind of looking outwardly, partying, drinking, getting into trouble. Like, and this was towards the end of high school into college. And I think that path just took me to, you know, many realms of hell, where you're either like, okay, I'm either here forever and I'm just like fighting with the devil for the rest of my life and it's incredibly painful and it's just pure suffering, or I need to take responsibility of my life and change my shit. You know what I mean? I need to change. I need to take responsibility and stop carrying the like, this happened to me, so I need to always be this way badge. You know, so a lot of suffering, a lot of darkness. And now in my path as also being a coach and a teacher like yourself, there are, you know, of course, throughout the year, there are always, you know, moments where I dip into the shadow and there's things I have to deal with, but it's never been what it once was, if that makes sense. So
yeah. Oh, it does make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, incredible. Mm-hmm.
Similarities. Like, when I saw your content, I was like, I just feel like we're very, very similar in ways. And
yeah, for sure. No, I've seen you dancing. And I, you know, it's funny because I'll tell you this. When I began awakening, a friend of mine in Australia, so I was experiencing all of this out of this world stuff that I wasn't prepared for.
Tell me everything.
And this, my friend in Australia, she talked to a psychic without even me knowing. And he said to her that I was a shaman. Mm. And I was like, what's a shaman? I don't even know what this is. Right. And so I'm living in my grandmother's cottage at this time all alone. And I've been floating outside of my body. I've been seeing my deceased grandmother, like her ghost and my grandfather's ghost. And I'd be hearing things. What else? All sorts of really, really weird things. And anyway, so I then got in contact with a shaman online. And then I ended up telling my dad what was going on. And he told his sister, my auntie. And then she said, you know that John's a shaman. Mm. So my grandmother's brother was a shaman. I had no idea. Never met him in my life. And so I sort of went into a depth of study with that. And sort of my new ego identity was like, oh, I'm a shaman. That's what I am, right? At the beginning, it was like, oh. But it brought a lot of solace into my life because it brought a lot of solace into my life because it was like, oh, there's all of a sudden there's almost an archetype that makes sense to the reason why I'm quote unquote mad. And the reason I brought it up was because, you know, I think you've probably seen the quote, but when you go to a shaman, I think when you're depressed or something like this, the first things they say is like, when did you stop dancing and when did you stop singing? You know, and now 4 years later, this is like a lot of what I'm doing and a lot what I'm getting people to do. And it's not even tied to the fact that I saw that quote. It's just naturally I have realized it in myself and allowed myself to be free. And that's naturally what I want to do. I want to dance like a lunatic. I want to, you know,
I mean, and I'm getting back into singing as well and playing the guitar. And it's just like dancing, facilitating DJing, like facilitating ecstatic dance and also singing, I swear immediately it's like my ego dissolves. I'm in the flow state and I feel so, so connected to God. And yeah, I think that's what's so beautiful about speaking to people that are on a similar path is you realize we all end up kind of making our way to the same thing eventually. And that thing, in my opinion, is not new information. It's not new activities. It's like my dad said the other day, things that we've been doing since the beginning of time is dancing around the fire and celebrating in that way in community. And that's a huge part of what I do is bring people back to that type of community. Because I mean, you're in the States right now and you're from Europe. So you know how separated and isolated we are. You know, and how the word that comes through is like sterile, how sterile things are, you know, and out here, it's like we come back to the root of nature because it's all around. And I feel like it's less accessible in the States. So, yeah.
Oh, 100%. And we're so disconnected, especially in England. You know, I find I'm not connected to my culture and the way that things are. And it was extremely lonely growing up, extremely lonely. I wasn't the footballer. I wasn't a guy's guy. Mm-hmm. I wasn't that guy. And I didn't really fit in any place. You know, I would roam the corridors while people hung out in their groups. And it was like, I could kind of bounce around to a couple of the groups, but I was usually like one or two people and I would be having deep chats. And
of course,
and you know, what you're providing, it's this beautiful thing that fills us up in a way that we never knew that we needed to be filled up. We weren't taught it because again, our parents weren't taught it. And it can look so many different ways. It's not just church. It's not just the mosque or the synagogue. It's so many different ways and we need it. And whether that's even just boxing class or a dance class, we need community. And I never had it. I never had it. And I've been yearning for it. And that's that's something that has filled me up in ways that has allowed all of those other things to certainly fall away. And now what I like you, like yourself, provide for other people. Mm-hmm. I'm very passionate about it. I'm very passionate about it because we need it, mm-hmm. don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it seems like we have a similar past experience of feeling like, oh, I don't belong here. This doesn't feel right. Like, what is happening? This is not right. The news, the school, what is this shit? Like, almost that deep inner knowing for a long time. And I think it's probably because you're an old soul. And then when you start to open yourself to the belief or the idea that there is community that has the same perspectives or similar perspectives as you, or similar outlooks on life, or similar missions to make this world a better place again, you start to feel less alone. But that loneliness, from what I've experienced in meeting a lot of people like yourself, is usually like the first 20 years of our lives. And then into the 20s, we start to experience a different way. And it's incredibly healing. It's incredibly healing.
I found the true alchemy for me has been, and it's really only been realized in the past 3 months, mm-hmm. because I've always been as an authentic person. You know, I will upset people to be myself, to tell the truth, mm-hmm. since I was young. It's gotten me into trouble. But when it came to my online persona, the most freeing thing that has happened to me in the past 3 months is allowing myself to be seen and witnessed as I am today, mm. and to explore myself online. Really, the thing that I shamed myself for, which was growing a lot, changing a lot, being interested in so many different things. And so I didn't want to share people because it's like, oh, I wasn't done yet. Oh, and mm. I know that I'm going to change in 3 months. I know, but now I've realized that's my niche. Mm. And by putting myself out there, I'm attracted, because I'm like realizing more of what I am, accepting myself enough to be able to mm-hmm. share myself, I'm then attracting the tribe. Mm. And before it was like, I was in around the wrong people, frustrated at the world, and be like, oh, there must be somebody like me out there. But now it's like, oh, actually, by putting myself online, even though, you know what, it was quite amazing. I predicted it. I knew what was going to happen. When I put myself on Instagram 3 months ago or 2 months ago, I said to myself, I am going to be myself on Instagram. I even made a declaration video. It was like, this is what I'm going to do. And I told my friend, what's going to happen is I'm going to lose loads of followers. Mm-hmm. My community is going to go down, mm-hmm. and then it's going to grow yep. up. But I didn't actually know it was going to grow in the speed that it did. I've gained, I think, like 19,000 in the past 2 months
wow.
on Instagram.
Good for you.
My account has literally blown up, and it's, well, it's insane. I mean, ironically, what happened is I kept losing followers. And then after 4 or 5 days, one of my videos got like 1 million views. And ironically, at the community, it stopped at 444 members. And it stopped there for like 3 or 4 days. And then all of a sudden it went up. And I had to face this fear. I had to really face this fear of... And then I realized, I've just come to so many realizations that's so beautiful that... You know, I had this like piece, I felt like I had a pea-sized amount of information to share with people, because as you grow and as you expand past what you once thought was true, you feel like everybody else is there mm-hmm. with you. And but then you realize, oh no, there is a bunch of people still trying to like integrate this mm-hmm. stuff. And all the while I've been in my room figuring this stuff out, feeling these things through, people haven't necessarily been doing the same thing. And so it's like, once I share the pea-sized information I think I have, then I'm given another pea-sized information. And then it's like, oh, there's unlimited things mm-hmm. to share. Wow. Mm-hmm. This is incredible. And I feel so full of love, because I've loved myself enough to allow myself to be witnessed, and people have disagreed with me, and I've shared my insecurities, and it's been such a freeing process.
Yeah. And really, it's difficult as well, right? The fears and the blocks that you see and continue to break through in putting your truth and your voice out there. And I could feel that energy of authenticity in that first video that I saw of you talking about money, which, great stuff. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest blocks. I think love and relationships and then money, specifically money, the reason why people are not able to free themselves is really about their relationship with money and how they look at it, right? And we need more and more information out there about, I mean, you said something about the fact that people don't have money blocks, they have success blocks. I'm pretty sure you said that. And that was like,
yeah. Woo! So it's more like, yeah, it's like expression blocks, mm-hmm. right? So there's no such thing. I even wrote about creativity today, and I'm going to do another one about money soon. What happened was, is I've noticed this portal of fear. And I recognize it as a portal now that I, for example, I took a video of me dancing sort of crazy with my coffee. And the first thought, and the first thought I had was, oh, God, I don't want women to see me like this. You know, I want to be mysterious. I want to be cool. And that's when I realized, I was like, well, that's exactly what you must do then, Fab. You need to post the video. So I posted it. And then weirdly enough, the video after that is a video that's now got 1 million views. And it was almost like a gift from God that once I like went through that portal of fear and I allowed myself to be witnessed as the weirdo that I am, that actually it was like, yeah, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you this 1 million views to perk you up and show you that that was the right decision. Mm-hmm. And now I really know the sensation of my soul and know the fear portal. And it's run away from me. What are we talking about?
The money blocks, success blocks, expression.
Yeah,
blocks.
Right, yeah. Right. And so exactly. And so it's quite incredible because people block what they express all the time because their mind gets in the way. And money is just energy. And we have all of these creative ideas and all of these things that start off, you know, the size of almost like a mustard seed, but we don't allow them to bloom. We don't give them the time of day, and we don't put it all on the line, really, to allow ourselves to be seen and witnessed. And as you, it's been my experience anyway, that by allowing myself to be seen and witnessed as I am today, I've become more of a magnet, because authenticity is the strongest vibration possible. Like, it really is. And to become an exceptional individual and allow that to, it's almost like I see like visuals in my mind, and it's like a lot of people go the linear path, and they almost, you know, they watch everybody around them, all of their peers, as I have done my whole life, build up this almost corporate tower where they've got, you know, medical insurance, they've got all of these quote unquote guarantees. But the thing is it grows so tall to the eye, but then it can be just knocked over, because I've seen it with loved ones where, like, you know, they devote 12 years to a company and then they get let go. And it's like, well, what was that all for? Whereas, like, when you're on the spiritual path and you're developing yourself inside, it's everything's flat. And so you don't look like you're going anywhere. For years, it's been like watching people drive cars. I haven't got a car. I haven't got a license. Can't afford to go here. I haven't gone on holiday. I don't do any of these things. I've been traveling inside of myself. But now I've, like, developed myself into this self-sustaining farm, where I have so much to provide a community with, and nobody can knock a farm over, you know, because it's my own farm that I've learned how to build. And that's really what I'm trying to get people to do. So the portal of fear showed up, and it was to talk about money on YouTube, and I stole the title. It was like, money is actually a spiritual flowing energy or something like this. And it did really well. And I thought, oh, that's the portal of fear again, showing me that that was the right decision to talk about it. And now I'm using it almost like a bit of a buzzword, because I understand that actually everybody wants money. And I know it offends people when I talk about money, which makes me want to talk about it even more, because actually, if you have a relationship where you don't like me talking about money, then you're never going to have it. But we need to talk about it. Like, if we were in a relationship with money, you know, my mentor, Carl Cease, I worked with him a few times, and he talks about even being on a date with money and imagining what your conversation would be, and be like, oh, I need you. Don't leave me. Or don't, you know, desperate, all of this sort of stuff. And it's like desperate. And that's it. Yeah. So quite incredible, really. Profound stuff, seeing how people react and exploring it within myself. And I've never had money. Never had money, and I've got money now, and it is only because of these learning the laws of this realm, almost like gravity, that when you play by the rules, play by the law, it's drawn towards you. And one of my favorite quote that's come out of me, I take no credit for it, but it's, financial freedom isn't millions in savings. Financial freedom is receiving from what you love giving. And people think, you know, my idea of financial freedom as well, how quick can you make money? Because most people receive money by the end of the month, and they have to give 40 or 50 hours of their week away. And then at the end of the month, they get money. Whereas like, that isn't my setup at all. And I believe that, that's possible for everybody that believes it is, right?
Yeah. I follow you fully. I think the key, really the key for everybody that of course we're not taught, is the key to unlock this is to check back in with yourself. Ask yourself, what do you love doing? What lights you the fuck up? What makes you feel so happy when you're doing it? It can be talking to people. It can be inspiring others. It can be creating art, whatever it is. And I truly believe that that is your path. That is what you're meant to be doing. Mm-hmm. And when you have enough courage and bravery to step on that path and start doing it, regardless of all of the internal and mental blockages you have, you will start unlocking this level of freedom. And also going inward. People are so caught up in the matrix, right? The external, reach and achieve and like you said, invest 40 hours, 60 hours, whatever, all of my time, if I sacrifice my health, my sleep, then I'm going to become a millionaire or then I'm going to become financially free. But again, a cheat code is actually go inward, heal, find your authenticity, find your truth, start sharing it. Start following what lights you up.
I almost can't believe it. It almost feels like otherworldly that we're having this conversation. Like that people have lived in this particular way for so long that it's unreal that I feel so young to be able to
discover this. Yeah, how young are you?
And so grateful. I'm 27. 27.
Beautiful.
How old
29.
Are you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it because it's like my mom has worked hard her whole life. Mm-hmm. And it comes back to the ADHD thing, you know, because we're born into this system, into this old world, and you know, we go through this suffering that maybe we've chosen because we know what we were, you know, maybe we're getting ourselves into. I don't know. And a lot of what I tell people now that I work with is, you know, you're here to birth something brand new and pay the new path, right? Not take drugs in order to fit in with that madness, you know, not at all. And it's possible for those that believe it is.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious, who was the mentor that arrived when you were the student needing a teacher? And when did that, who was your first guide to come into your life?
John St. Julian Babawanyama. Or John Julian Sen Babawanyama, his name is. Okay. He lives out in Tanzania.
Wow.
And he followed 1111 and went to, he was basically, I'm not going to tell you his story for him. I'll probably butcher it. But briefly, he was like having an awakening, doing lots of fasting. You know, he's done multiple 40-day fasts on water. I believe he struggled with Lyme's disease and he had all of this stuff going on, but he followed 1111 to Africa and then started to take in this little boy that needed his help.
What do you mean followed 1111?
Now,
what do you mean by that?
He felt so he was watching, I think he was, again, I could butcher it. I don't know his full story, but he was watching, I believe he's on his laptop and an ad came up for something about suffering somewhere. Mm-hmm. And he just said to me, said out loud, he's like, why doesn't somebody do something about this? And then he felt, and then he got guided intuitively because he was fasting to, you know, he followed the sort of signs and symbols that he was receiving in order to go to Africa. And then he helped this young boy who was starving and probably been, I don't know what situation the boy was in, and took him in like he was his own. Mm. And then that expanded past that to then looking after other children and opening up this place where he's got employees and people saving children from the worst type of scenario, and also like stray dogs and animals and all sorts of stuff. And I found his video and it was about quitting weed, and he was a young man at the time. I mean, still a young man, you know, he's probably in his early 40s, but I've watched him over the past 7 years become somebody that I've watched every single one of his videos on fasting, on seeking God, on understanding the teachings of Jesus or Yeshua. And yeah, that is who I tell everybody about him, because I'm in awe of who that man is and what he's been able to achieve.
Immortal. It seems. Yeah. He's activated the immortal genes.
He's incredible, and I'll send you a link to his stuff after mm-hmm. this, because you should check him out. He's honestly,
beautiful,
modern day saint.
And sure. I also, correct me if I'm wrong, but I also think I saw that you are practicing Muslim.
Yeah. So okay. Yeah. Let's talk about that. So because during my awakening, I was very ungrounded, and I didn't have any spiritual background or anything like that, or community or anything. And when I found Islam, it had explanations for these ghosts that I'd been seeing. Mm-hmm. They have the jinn. And then I came to the understanding that actually what came to me wasn't my grandmother and wasn't my grandfather. Mm. And the jinn are born out of smokeless fire, and they were created before us humans, I believe, in the Quran it says. Mm. And they have lives like us. And for every human is born, there is a jinn born. And I think that it was like the Iblis was, you know, created, and he went against, you know, Allah. He said that I'm not going to obey you. And so there are, you know, I guess, you know, if we call it quote unquote bad jinn and good mm-hmm. jinn, believers and non-believers, and some of them mess with us. So that's why when you go to a tarot reader, you know, some of them can tell you something that's so profound about you, because their jinn is talking to your jinn and telling you truths. And they're like, wow, how do you know that about me? In order to like feed you some truth to then maybe mislead you. Mm. And the whole point in Islam is Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, which is there's no God worthy of worship except Allah. And I really believe that. And I know that there are different, I'm at this stage, I'm still learning, you know, but I believe that Allah is the God. It means the God in Arabic. And I believe that Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that we shouldn't be putting idols, whether it be money or whether it be celebrities mm-hmm. or worry, anxiety, whatever it is, on this pedestal, that we're powerless, that we should seek the Most High, Yeshua, I don't really care what you call it at this stage of my life, because again, I believe that words are symbols that can only point at the truth. Mm. But they have the 99 names of Allah, like Al-Qadus, and these sorts of things that are like the characteristics of God, the characteristic of this all supreme knowing being that's the most compassionate, the most mm-hmm. loving thing. And when you focus inward, it's been my experiences as I focused inward and tried to understand that or understand that, it's transformed me from the inside. And I messed around with crystals and I messed around with all of this stuff, but I'm still unsure. I'm still pretty confused, I would say, religiously, mm-hmm. spiritually. I'm on a journey, but the prayer works. Mm-hmm. Prayer is the most powerful thing for me. Might not be Islam. I don't know. Like, I'm not afraid of getting it wrong either. Like, I'm not afraid of getting it wrong. I'm not afraid of people getting upset with the way that I view things. I really don't care mm-hmm. at all. I'm just sincerely seeking the truth, and I have a deep reverence for Islam. Yeah, I really do.
I think that's beautiful. I think whatever works for each individual, you know, and I don't have enough information on all of the religions to even cast a judgment or think I know what is right. Sure. Who knows what is right? It's up to each individual. Yeah. I just was definitely curious about your journey and whatever brings you solace.
Well, yeah, I got the one of my favorite quotes of mine was like, what's right or wrong is a game the ego plays in which the soul will weave into sense one day. And I have recognized as I've posted online about Islam, because I was quiet about it for mm-hmm. 2 years, because I know what I'm like, as I said before, and I didn't want to communicate about it and then upset people. But now I've realized I don't care
that's
about
not you.
People,
that's not on you.
Indirectly. Mm-hmm. And people will disagree with me. And as I've experienced it, even, you know, that people come and they support me, people come and bully me. I get death threats.
What?
I get all sorts of stuff. But I've had crazy stuff.
Just from posting one of my about videos being Muslim.
Well, one of my videos was in Medina, and I was putting lip balm on. And they thought, because I was dry fasting, mm-hmm. right? So it's like throughout Ramadan, you can't have food or water.
For how long?
In the day. It's generally like 4 a.m. It's like sunrise to sunset, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I was dehydrated. I was putting lip balm on, and people thought I was vaping. And so everybody's gotten really angry that I'm in their holy place and I'm vaping and I'm walking among these people praying. They're like, you should be praying, not vaping or whatever. And it's like, bro, I was literally walking to go pray in the masjid. But that's it. But it's taught me a lot because I have to be careful with the way that I explain this. So I know somebody who's religious, let's say, and because of the upbringing that they've had, it was quite, they followed the rules, certain rules, and then they grew up with this almost like, I don't want to call it bubble wrap, but I suppose it is in a way. They didn't experience the world by experiencing it. They just experienced it by like hearing about it. And so then they don't actually know, they don't know about certain things, and they've kept themselves from certain things, but then they've developed bad habits because of it. For example, they didn't have the sex talk and he didn't go out and have experiences with women, but then actually addiction to porn, a crazy addiction to porn. And so you think, well, you can't ignore these things. You have to be able to communicate about them. And I've noticed in the community, there are like every community, every part of the world, there's light and dark. There's people in their soul and in their shadow. And it's it comes to the surface, and I love it. I love to talk about it. Now I'm posting about Islam a lot because actually I'm shedding the model community that I never really wanted anyway. And now I'm able to have a spiritual religious community because I love to have that open dialogue. That's what I want to talk about. And so I'm doubling down on it now. I'm like, yeah, let's talk, because actually I could talk about that for 10 hours straight. You know, let's talk.
Yeah. You're a seeker. You're a seeker of truth. Yeah, I think spirituality, this journey, it's incredibly complex. You know what I mean? It's incredibly complex. And just like you were saying earlier, you shift fast, you change quickly, new knowledge is gained, and then you're like, what the fuck? That doesn't align with who I just was, you know, 20 minutes ago. That's why I called. I actually had this awakening 2.5 years ago when I was, you know, 26 to 27, around your age, when I was like, wait, my business, I have to call it Limitless Being, because I am ever changing and ever growing, and what once was the container for my growth can very quickly become a ceiling, right? That I need to change into a new container, whether that's religion, whether that's relationships, whether that's your job, your career, your identity. I think we're continuously evolving on this path. So like I said, to each their own, and I appreciate you sharing.
As we are with the, you know, I'm sure you know David R. Hawkins. Do you know David R. Hawkins?
I'm not sure.
David Hawkins. So he's done the map of consciousness.
David Hawkins, Dr. David
Hawkins. Yeah. So, exactly. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, and he talks about this, because we're moving into the age of Aquarius. I don't know if he talked about that, but like our understanding of truth is changing because we're all awakening. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, 1600 years ago, when this Bible and the Torah and the Quran and these were all being revealed, that was maybe the interpretation of truth. I don't know. And now, like, you know, it's one of Sadhguru's quotes, I heard him say, it's like, what was wise yesterday could be silly today. And I think that that's very true. And so I'm not, like you're saying, like my school community is going to be called Limitless Grace, because my name is Gray and I put the Y in there. And it is like that. We're evolving. And so and it's such a beautiful revelation to have for you and I and everybody that listens, that it's okay to change. Mm-hmm. It's okay to grow, and it's okay to just put yourself out as you are today and then change your mind tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Like they say, the Quran is like an ocean, you know, every time you read it, it changes, it shifts, it moves, because you're moving through these states of consciousness, which is why I always say that why they can be used for terrible, terrible things. And it can also be used for beautiful things. And I might add that I didn't really ever get caught up. You know, the theologians of the world may quarrel, but the mystics know that we are all one, that really, you know, I didn't get caught up in the stories and needed to talk about the difference between the Bible. This is the truth. And I didn't come out like, oh, I found the truth, guys. You need to come over here. It wasn't like that for me. I began praying. I felt deeply inspired, followed my inspiration, learned the Arabic. And I believe there is magic in Arabic. I really do. I still pray in Arabic every single day. And I think that Yeah, there's just lots to be said about it, really. I mean, it's just we're shifting, we're growing, and I don't know. Yeah, it fascinates me. It really does fascinate.
Yeah, and also, I think it's important to note too. You're always going to be changing if you choose this type of path. And also, there's people that are so terribly afraid of changing, so much so that they keep themselves in the 9-to-5. They keep themselves stuck in the things that they're used to, so that they don't have to experience change. And I think you probably help people understand that change and the unknown is actually an inevitable part of life. And I think the unknown is where those mystical experiences happen, which we can talk about a little bit more later. I feel like you have quite a few of those to share. I am curious if you've worked like one-to-one with somebody in mentorship, if somebody was guiding you like one-to-one in during your awakening, or if you've had a coach, or what that journey looks like for you.
Yeah. So I connected with Kyle Cease
a couple years ago. Oh my God, no way. Yeah, I know. I love his book about money. What's it called?
The Illusion of Money.
Yeah, I've listened to the whole thing. He's fucking great. Yeah.
He's incredible. Yeah. So I've met him, I've shook his hand, I've hugged him. But I worked with him one-on-one maybe 5 times. And I've learned so much about money actually through him, directly and indirectly, and just my experience of investing in him and investing in myself, because I realized that, you know, I even listened back to some of the one-on-one calls and I'm like, nothing even happened. but actually it's like it's the intention, it's the space that affects you. You know, and so when I have my group classes at the beginning, I like to say, like, there might not be a golden nugget here. Like, you don't have to sit and wait for, like, where am I going to get my money's worth? It's not really about that. It's about actually putting this energy in and setting this intention that I'm ready to shift, and finding somebody that's got an open heart like Kyle does, and he's willing to see me and he believed in me. And that's what I needed. I needed somebody to see me and believe in me. And that's why I am here today, because I was willing enough, you know, look at the scale of vibration. I was willing enough to let go of this thing that society tells me to hold on to and save. And even still, like, when I was about to, like, really, really run out of money, I just threw my last money at him, because I know that a conversation with him would be far more valuable than, what am I going to do? Spend it on rent next month? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm going to spend it anyway. So that's what I did. And, you know, he's been a terrific, sage on my path, I would say, and I love him dearly, and I hope to see him again soon. I might be going to his event actually in Sedona soon. Miracles Normalized.
I'm from Arizona.
Well, no way.
I would go to Sedona. Yeah, that's where I was living in Scottsdale.
What a wonderful
before
place
I left to Costa Rica. Yeah, I would go to Sedona every single weekend. Have you been?
Yes, I went last year. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it was breathtaking. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I remember I found one of his podcast episodes he was on. I can't remember the podcast. He was on this podcast with this ex-football player, and he was talking about money. And this was probably when I was 24. So yeah, almost about 5 years ago. And the concepts that the School of Greatness, that was the podcast, the School of Greatness with Lewis Howe. And the concepts that I mean, I go back and listen to it to this day. I was mind blown. So he's incredibly intelligent. What a blessing that you've been able to work with him. That's incredible. So, anybody else? Anybody else that you've worked with?
I found a shaman online who ended up being a bit of a pervert.
Oh no.
So yeah, he got a bit weird with me.
I'm so sorry.
But, you know, no, that's okay. Nothing happened to me, but he was just inappropriate.
Yeah, that's
not
okay.
So I had
to
just like separate.
Not okay.
No, it's not okay. You're right. It isn't. It isn't okay. Mm-hmm. But, and, you know, you go through different people, and I've paid to talk, you know, I've got one right now. Gresh, she's amazing in India, and Greshma, her name is. Mm-hmm. And then I have, Vanessa Engels in Belgium. She's a terrific woman. I met her 4 years ago. Again, I just had pulled her into my life really strangely through the Belgium girl that I worked mm-hmm. with, who's, you know, one of my bestest friends. Mm-hmm. And she's incredible. Everybody should check her out, Vanessa Engels. And I just spent actually 2 days in Belgium with her, mm-hmm. just almost like I was in the movie Inception, just the way that things shift. And again, with this intention of, you know, investing in yourself and spending 2 days with her, it's like portals open mm-hmm. for you to have revelation, to have realization. She's the one that shared with me my gene key is 39, which is all about liberation. Mm-hmm. It's probably similar mm-hmm. to yours, I'm not sure. And hers is about, I think hers is about revelation. But yeah, she's an incredible woman. And I that's why I'm so passionate about what I do, because the effect that these people have had on my heart is just profound, mm-hmm. really profound. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so humbled to be able to hold that space for other people, and why I charge what I charge, and why I'm not, you know, I don't feel ashamed to charge the amount of money that I charge, because I know what it does.
That's beautiful.
I know the effect it has, mm-hmm. you know, whereas before, as a male model, I traveled the world for 10 years, needed money, and they, you know, wanted me to advertise dating apps on my social media or this clothes and this and that, and it all just felt wrong. And like, photography is like, oh, you should charge for your photography, you should sell pictures. And I just thought, I don't want to sell this, I don't want to sell that. I had limiting beliefs mm-hmm. around money. But now it's like, no, this is, you know, I've become the ultimate product, because I've allowed God to craft me into somebody that is able to be of service for people. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's what I mean, you're doing, and I think we're all on the path for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What would you tell somebody that is maybe going through a similar experience as you in the past, like having a really big awakening, a dark night of the soul? Maybe they're in a lot of darkness and seeking that help, but they have the limitations around making that type of investment in somebody. They have blocks, if you will. What would you tell them?
I would tell them that in order to receive money in a way that you never have done before, or an amount that you never have done before, you have to spend it in a way that you never have done mm-hmm. before. And you have to live it's kind of, you know, when you're living a certain life, it's irrational to think that you could ever live another way. It's irrational. So in order to get to that irrational place, you have to do irrational mm-hmm. shit. Like, it's not going to make sense to like spend the grand to speak to somebody, or 2 grand, or do whatever you do. It's not going to make sense to invest money. Mm-hmm. But that's exactly what you must do in order to open up this portal, because that's exactly what it is. It's a portal, mm-hmm. you know. And I use that word and it sounds so silly, but I experienced it. And you know, maybe I'm lucky, but I don't think I am. I don't think I am. I mean, I am lucky, but I've learned that is a portal. And I'm witnessing the people that have, you know, in my group classes shift and things like this. It's like, take a leap and watch how it's not even just a call. It's like after that call, things start to unravel as you deepen your prayer life, as you move towards, you know, the truth of what you are, because we are seeking the essence of what we are in all the things our eyes can mm-hmm. see. And so when you know, you connect with an open-hearted individual that is, you know, again, it comes down to this, some of the five people that we hang around, and you can't really ask for advice from somebody that is in a position that you don't want to mm-hmm. be in. So you have to invest the money to be on be around the person. For me, it was Kyle.
Yeah.
To communicate with Kyle, because it's like, I knew he had financial abundance. I knew he was funny. I knew he was a father. I trusted him. And it was like, I want the life that you've got, the essence of what you've got. I want the essence of what you've got. I don't want to be you, but I need to talk to you. I just knew. Like, I was just like, I was willing, you know. I just, yeah, it's willingness. And again, looking at the vibrational scale, and I've mapped a lot of my decisions off of this. I mean, it's all integrated inside of me now, so it's not like an intellectual study, but it's willingness. Being willing is a high vibration compared to being in fear, afraid of like spending money. So the moment you're willing enough to even let go of the money and spend it, you're already more of a magnet for opportunity, ideas. You're opening up the channel to create the YouTube video or create a new song or create this and that. But when you're stagnant, you're holding on to things. You're not even open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Investing in somebody that's in a position that you want to be in is another cheat code, right? It's like, you are living this life. I want that life. I need to get into a room with you. And also, again, community in a room with multiple people that are at a higher level than you. And that also requires stripping away the ego and realizing, like, you're not going to be the smartest. You're going to be uncomfortable. There are going to be things that you don't understand, you know, and that is the continuous path to growth is embracing the discomfort, embracing the fear, and moving forward regardless.
Woo! 100%.
So when did you start holding space for people?
So I opened my YouTube channel 3 years ago, and it started off as just a bit of a, like, you know, because since I was a little boy, I've been like this.
Wait, can I ask an ADHD question really quickly? I don't know if you believe in this, but what do you know what your big three are in astrology? Okay, what are they?
So I'm a Cancer, Cancer Sun, Moon, and Mercury, and then a Leo Rising.
Wow, I'm a Cancer Moon as well. Oh, that makes so much sense. Yeah, the cancer will make you sensitive and psychic and intuitive, and Leo Sun as well. So nice. Okay, back to the question. Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten the question. Please remind me.
So have I.
We're talking about when I held space for
when
people.
Did you start doing
that? Here's our ADHD showing. So realistically, three years ago, I started to dabble in it, but I didn't tell anybody about it. And then it was 3 months ago I began to really own it, and it was like realizing this pool of fear, and then it was like people didn't understand the value of investing in themselves. But I'd witnessed it through working with Kyle and working with Vanessa and working with Gresh and et cetera, that I knew that it was up to me to now communicate that and find new ways to be able to communicate this thing. And then, so I found, how do I connect everybody and make it affordable? Mm-hmm. So I started to do these group classes and that just banged. It was just incredible. Like now all of a sudden I'm the teacher in a classroom and I'm making jokes. I'm being completely myself. Everybody's laughing, feeling inspired. And then I'm also able to communicate it all, because when you watch other people overcome their fears and share themselves vulnerably, it opens your heart. You also feel connected to other people. And it's the truth, an unfortunate truth. But if you're, you know, trying to find your soul's path, the likelihood is that you're not around other people that are. And so this group class thing is just insane to me. Like, it's the most exciting part of my week. And now I've got two groups. And I'm so passionate about it. Really, I am. I just go on there and it's everybody inspires me, because people are overcoming things. I'm like, oh God, if they're overcoming it, I've got to go and do the thing I'm afraid of now. So I was just, it's insane.
Do you work with everybody?
How about you?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Beautiful. I've got a 69-year-old. I've got a 60-year-old, I think he was, or 62. A 38-year-old, 33-year-old, 23-year-old, another 23, another 23. Yeah, I've got a real mix of people. It's insane.
You've touched on a couple of things that I actually really want to talk about. Number one is, I was just talking to my business partner about this literally yesterday, of like, she was expressing that she feels like it's really hard for people to not necessarily see the value, but to be willing to make the investment in themselves of like healing and of self-work and of, you know, these things that aren't going to be tangible and instant gratification. And I said to her, I was like, I wonder if that's only present in our reality because it's a limitation within our own minds. And also, I'm sure there's truth to it. How do we express to people the importance of everybody doing this type of work, of everybody investing?
Example. We become the example. And I mean, I'm a salesman at heart. My dad has always said to me that he was always trying to get me to sell for his company, and I was like, no, fuck off.
Fuck
but it's like, just fuck off. But you know, that's part of my thing is now communicating it to people that, like, I did this like money masterclass, and the whole essence of what I'm doing is helping people align themselves with their soul. Because, you know, I wrote something on my Instagram and it was like, they don't believe me when I tell them. So allow me to be the living witness, you know, humble me, guide me. I will give you a life, give my life to you, God. I want you to build me into somebody, and it will be, they won't be able to deny you any longer that there are laws to this realm, and you can call it what you want. But if you abide by them, he opens a space inside of you for you to serve people. And when you're serving people, like, I wake up happy, I go to bed fulfilled, and throughout my day, it's full of excitement. And that just draws towards me money, opportunity, ideas, people that love me, people that email me and telling me all of these great things. And I say, Alhamdulillah, or all glory to God. It's not, everybody wants this ladder, but then they're in this system. And so we have to be an example and just be radiant and allow ourselves to attract to us the forces we wish to use in the cooperation of other people. I'm a misfit, failed school, can't focus on things. I can't do any of this, but I am free. But I am free. And I know that you are too. And we just, you know, like Jesus, he just led the way. He was like, this is where I'm going. And then everybody was like, do you know what? He's got a point.
He can turn water into wine. What's he doing?
Yeah. He's literally walking on water. But this is it. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. And this is interesting that, you know, I'm sure you've heard of Joe Dispenza.
Of course, I'm obsessed.
But he looks at the brain waves now as it's beta, alpha, theta, delta that we move through. And in the Bible, biblical text, we have earth, water, air, fire. And so when it's actually, when he's saying he's walking on water, now two things can be true at once. So I'm not here to dictate or tell everybody what happened 2000 years ago or whatever. But I'm saying that when he's walking on water, is he really on water, or is he moving through the state of consciousness that they had inner engineers back then because they didn't have science? So it's actually moving through an egoic consciousness from earth, of water, and then into air and shifting his state of consciousness. Even if you look at how he cured the blind man and he said, cover your eyes with mud and then rinse it with water. It's earth, mud, water, and then air. It's shifting your consciousness. Was he physically blind or spiritually blind? Now, again, I'm not here to tell people that he wasn't doing miracles like that, but it's all connected. And I believe that as we shift in these states of consciousness, and we're, you know, even the age of Aquarius is the man bearing water. He's pouring water onto us. So we're in this age of enlightenment. Water is truth, symbolizes truth. And so we are awakening.
I've seen and witnessed many, many miracles through the power of alchemy, which for me is energy and sound healing, Reiki energy healing, and also deep subconscious work, right? So I've seen people heal their gut health just by shifting their mindset, you know, heal their internal disease or their hormonal issues purely through Reiki. Right. And so I also like appreciate your perspective through religion and believing that God is outside of ourselves, but I also believe that God's inside of ourselves. I believe that, you know, we have the possibility to tap into the gifts of the ascended masters, of the angels, of all of these, these mythical creatures that we read about and hear about from these texts. And that's the other work is breaking through and realizing, I don't know why I'm getting on this tangent, but coming from the story of the mud healing the man with the blindness with mud, right? Like, we can heal naturally as well, which is the number one reason why I got into this work, because I saw my mom get sick, right? And I would love for you to let me know if you've seen or any stories that you have around people being able to, like, heal miraculously through coaching or even yourself.
This is one I've got a, you know, I've experienced a lot of ill health. I think that and even just the psychosis and stuff like that, but I don't know, it's difficult, and it's something that I'm still playing around with in my mind, because, you know, some of my teachers believe that, you know, just you know, you don't need to detox, you know, just be in a loving vibration. Mm. And that's, you know, what parasites and all of this stuff. But then I'm thinking, well, isn't it a loving act to actually like detox my body? And but I've been on these heavy detoxes, and actually like my health felt like it gotten worse, because I'm, you know, as you're trying to heal yourself, you're almost manifesting more illness, because you attract what you mm-hmm. are, and you're creating more of what you are. And if you're in this need to change your body, then actually, you know, almost, that's been my experience, I've made myself worse. So I don't really want to talk at length, because I don't think I have enough information really. But I would love to hear actually some about the Reiki thing that you've experienced, people healing gut issues. Mm. And I know so many people struggle with that. Yeah. So what's that been? Is that been with you, working mm-hmm. with you, or just through other?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Working with me. I'm trained in Reiki and also trained in different hypnosis modalities and neurolinguists.
Do you do that online as mm-hmm. well, or just in person?
Yeah, I do online and in person. Wow. The Reiki healings, I mean, I am in a timeline now where my clients are deeply tapped in. They're super psychic, they're super spiritual, so their ability to receive energy healing through what Joe Dispenza would call the quantum field, right,
yes.
I can bring them into a state of hypnosis, into a state of theta in their brainwaves, and then the healing happens no matter where they are in the world. The miraculous healing,
sign me
up. it's fucking incredible. But the miraculous healings that I've seen my clients work through with physical health have been in person, like an autoimmune disorder, chronic pain, gut health issues. A woman that didn't have her period for 2 years after a session got her period again. And I bring all of this up because, again, placebo as well is a part of it. But also, I believe that all of the physical ailments start in the energetic and emotional bodies. That's what Ayurveda says. That's what Chinese medicine says. That's what Reiki says, that these things start mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And if we don't do that work to shift the energy or heal ourselves in that way, then they manifest as something physical. So yeah. Yeah.
Have you done physical detox as
yeah.
well?
Yeah. Oh, right. This is going to be my next point. So my journey started through the physical with I used to eat like shit growing up. And then once I got to college, I started eating super healthy and I went to school for nutrition. I was originally pre-med and then shifted to nutrition. And I started healing my body just purely through eating healthier. And then I got into yoga. And then I was working out, you know, dedicated to my physical workouts. I work out every single day. Obviously, that changes what I do depending on where I'm at in my cycle. But I believe that in order to get to the spiritual levels, you have to master the physical first. But everything's about balance, right? If you're doing like insane detoxes or 40-day fasts, like good for you if it works for you. But I also think like little steps go a long way. Lifestyle modifications go a long way. And then once you feel that you're strong in your physical body, that's when the channel opens up to the divine. That's been my process.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like it, yeah, it's beautiful to hear. And I'm hearing it more and more now that I'm attracting, you know, souls like yours. I feel I've been so alone on this path. Mm-hmm. And it is, you're just wacko to the people around you, you know. But
come out to Costa Rica. We're all yeah. out here. We're all out here.
Yeah.
We all are.
No, I probably
same
will.
Frequency. Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. Well, can we shift to talk about that? Is that yeah. okay? Because I would love to hear about what's going on out there. Where was my invite? You never fucking invited me.
I just invited you right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, so this interview is about you, but I'll give you a little bit more. Okay. So, and when sure. you have a famous podcast, you can interview me on.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have my word.
Or we can go live or something as well. But for me, when I was probably 15 or 16, for whatever reason, I felt in my soul, I'm like, I want to live out of the country. I want to live out of the country. I want to live out of the country. Multitude of reasons. You've traveled a lot. You know the matrix, the realm of the United States of America is literally like fear, anxiety, depression. And it's like, no matter what I do there, because I'm so deeply sensitive, I feel like I can't escape it. You know, I think there's moments, I don't always feel that way, but when I come out to the jungle, the first time to the jungle was my travels to Asia, to Thailand, when I did my yoga teacher training. And I was living on an island, Koh Phang Yang, and I was just like in nature, you know, in my studies for a month straight. I was like, I'm doing it all wrong, you know. And I came back to the States, and I actually got into a relationship that kept me there. And it was also a comfort zone thing where I kept myself in that relationship. And I got out of that when I was 26 and reconnected with like, okay, I lost a lot of myself. I gave a lot of my authenticity away and didn't follow my heart for so long. What is really alive within me, and what do I need to be doing? And the answer was move to Costa Rica. So I moved here 2.5 years ago. It just started sprinkling. And I was in another area. I was in the Guanacaste province on the Pacific coast. And that, for me, those six months were an initiation into a shamanic initiation, if you will, into hell. Like, I saw demons. I experienced black magic. I, like, the list goes on of the things that I saw. Because I needed to realize that this path is not just love and light and rainbows and butterflies and everybody that's spiritual is a good person. That's just actually not the case at all. So came back to the States for a little bit. And then last year I lived in Colombia for 9 months and 2 months in Mexico. And now I'm back here in Costa Rica. So.
Wow. Yeah. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Incredible. Is it hot all year round?
No, so right now it's kind of perfect. It's like, you do Celsius, huh? I don't know.
I have no idea what we do.
Fahrenheit or
Yeah, I know. Okay, I know this.
So it's like 70, 75 degrees right now. But it's rainy season right now, so there's more rain, but it's actually been perfect. I prefer a little bit of rain in the afternoon or in the evening. During high season, which is about December to May, it can be really, really hot.
I think maybe I'm Teal Swan's out there, I believe.
I don't know if she is. There's a lot of people like her out here, though, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I'll definitely have to come out there.
You'll go through another level of awakening, just so you know. I had a Kundalini awakening 2 years ago. Like, it was the energy here and the medicine of the jungle. Like, you don't need ayahuasca. You don't need plant medicine. Just come out here and spend time in the jungle and you'll go through.
Yeah, I feel that. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely just being connected more to nature and grounding. I mean, I was very much, you know, similar to you, maybe into extremes when I was younger. But now I don't want to have a crazy psychedelic trip that's going to change the way that I view things. I don't need that. I've been through it. I've had my revelations. I'm good. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Natural insights. And I don't have any desire for it. Whereas when I was 18, I got offered, or 19, I got offered DMT, and I was like, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's young.
I did it 10 times over like 3 weeks.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I blast. It's just insane. But the one thing about it is it's like having a dream, you know, because it affects you deeply. But then after a week or so, it's like you're back in the system, back in the matrix. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, it's the same with ayahuasca, I would imagine. It's like people that aren't, like, I know people that have done it, but they're no more at peace because they haven't really faced themselves in day to day. Like, you have to face yourself in the day to day, in the moment to moment. You know, when things come up, you have to learn how to integrate it in that moment, breathe it in, breathe in the fear, overcome, you know, yourself. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, when you take these things, it's like you have, maybe some people need it, and, you know, who's to say it wasn't a big part of my journey? I don't know.
I'm sure it was. For me, yeah. it was getting into LSD when I was 18, 19. Like, that was a huge part of, I mean, I didn't really necessarily know what was going to come from it, but my experience with psychedelics has never been like, oh, I can just sit here on LSD or mushrooms and have a blast. Like, it's never been that way for me. It's like, oh my God, I'm so inward already naturally that add psychedelics to the mix and I'm going to the deepest parts of my shadow, you know? So regardless if I knew it at the time, those experiences were very medicinal and I'm sure they were for you. And probably a big part of the reason.
Oh, it was great. I had these feminine energies just dancing around me, just kind of like floating around me, just comforting me. Every time I had a fear, they were like, it's okay. Yeah, insane. I don't know why. I like to think they're still with me, but you know, I don't know. But yeah, it was incredible experience. Yeah.
Oh, well, do you have any more topics you would like to touch on before we close?
I don't think so. I think we've covered so much. We've spoken about so much and I appreciate the health talk. I'm going to talk to you, you know, even offline about the Reiki and definitely Costa Rica. I think that the health one is important to me because, you know, even just now, I was just in the hospital yesterday visiting my friend. Mm-hmm. She's got like, I don't know, stomach ulcers or something. She's like bleeding a lot, internal bleeding, and they don't know what's going on with her, right? And then everybody's in this mental thing and I'm sat there completely powerless watching my friend in pain, fear for her life, really. And there's, you know, all of this health journey and everything that I've learned spiritually, you can't really just hand all of that to somebody that doesn't have faith or know this stuff. And you just have to like hand it to the divine to sort of take care of her. And maybe even just connecting with you today to talk about that. Maybe there's a source, a lead that I can follow.
Absolutely.
Because medical intuitive or something like this is what I would recommend her. I told her if she wanted to, I'd pay for it because I think that, you know, these doctors, they deal with it on a mental level, right? And they're incredible people. I don't know what they get up to. I have no idea. I'm way out of my depth, but I know that, you know, it's like a spiritual MRI scan is what she needs. She needs to figure out, I don't know if it's an emotional thing or a spiritual thing, if it's something that she's inherited from her grandparents. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you know what my belief is. I know that, I don't know, sorry, that the root of all of it, is emotional, energetic, spiritual. And if you go to a Chinese medicine doctor, they're going to be able to tap into, okay, what does the stomach mean? Like, for example, the lungs, if there's pain or issues with the lungs, that usually means you're holding a lot of grief. So,
Yes.
So what's going on with the stomach? Is there heat? Is there stress? What is the root cause? And root cause healing is always the way to go, you know? So I will definitely pray for your friend and send her well wishes. Yeah. And I'm happy to, I mean, I've got a wealth of information, so whatever help that you need, I'm happy to provide it. I have two questions for you before we hop off. Number one, we've probably already spoken to it, but what's like a project in your life right now or something that you're going to create in the future, something you want to share with the audience that you're like most excited about right now?
I'm not rushing it, but I'm writing a book called Better Than Sex.
Okay. Tell us more.
Well, it's really just a journey of everything. And I mean, I went celibate for a couple of years and I still practice for the most part abstinence. And I believe that as you channel your sexual expression into your creative pursuits, you know, it's a joke, but like babies or businesses, you know, I mean, it's like there's a lot to be said about how we're kind of, you know, almost taught and influenced in this way to allow our sexual energy to be vacuumed into this vortex and we waste our energy and we just feel depleted. And as I've like the further along this path, I've moved actually even in human design, I have the gate of asexuality. And I didn't know what that was. I'm not
what's
asexual.
What's your human design?
What manifesting generator, if that's what you mean.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not surprised. And so the gate of asexuality, I spoke to Vanessa about it recently and she was just saying that we're the, because she has it as well, and it's, we're the type of people that just prefer to like channel their sexual energy into other things rather than just, you know, depleting it elsewhere. And so, yes, I'm writing the book, and then I'm also opening up a school community where I'm going to be able to connect with people and really, I suppose, provide little lots of different little things as well as the bigger offers that I've got. And we'll see. I didn't know that I was going to be doing group calls before. I had no idea how to do it, and I just leapt, and now I'm somebody that does do that. And so who knows what the fuck's going to happen. But I'm loving every single second of everything in my life right now. I really am. I feel,
I'm happy.
I feel blessed. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah. It's interesting. I'll just tell you this. I don't know why, but I actually got just like an intuitive hit, like, oh, he needs to write a book, or he is writing a book. When I saw one of your videos, I was like, I felt that in your field. So that's a good thing. That's hopefully alignment for you. And also, I just want to say thank you for talking about that celibacy. And you said babies are business, and that just blew my mind, because that's exactly the phase of life that I'm in right now. Like, I'm not putting any energy. I'm you know, holding my own within and putting it all into my creations. And I find it so much more fulfilling than exactly what you said. You're putting words to my feelings, like putting that energy into a vortex that kind of sucks your life force out. And it's unfortunate. I think, hopefully, I want to believe that maybe that's not the case in the future, but it's true. Like, if you want to be a successful creative, I think you need to have such strong boundaries with that energy, because it is the origin of all creation. So
yeah, I mean, you look at the Think and Grow Rich book by Napoleon Hill. Chapter 11 is about sexual transmutation, and I picked that book up when I was 21 or something, and I read it, and he said in the book, he's like, most men, I mean, he's talking about men, he was, but he said most men don't reach success until they're 40 to 50. And it's not because they're like smarter then. It's just because that's when they learn how to like harness their sexual energy. Because most young men are going around doing all of this other stuff. And I, you know, I'm not a bloody sage. Do you know what I mean? I'm not perfect. But I was never like the men around me, to the point where when I was young, I questioned my sexuality because I didn't have any other understanding of why I was the way I was. But I knew that I wasn't like them. I knew it. And I wasn't at all, and still to this day I'm not. I have this innate knowing that actually it's like, that is a waste of my energy. Fun as it is, a waste of my energy. I've got stuff to do. I was born with an innate knowing that I'm here to do something incredible, and I have to serve the people. And so there's certain sacrifices you must make, and when you move that energy up your body, and up your spine, and you allow it to flow through you, that is a thing that I believe just allows you to build something so beautiful. And I think that that's why the porn industry is a thing. And I think that that's why the dark forces of the world want us to be in this sort of, you know, sexual freedom is not what we think it is. Sexual freedom is actually what I experience, where I don't have this frustration of needing to use somebody or get it out of me or any of these things. It's actually channeling it into creating something beautiful for this world, creating art, right? Yeah, that's been my experience for sure.
Wow, props to you, especially as a young man. Props to you. Okay, two more questions.
Oh, glory to God.
Now I'm curious again, so...
No, please ask me anything you like.
What are your perspectives on divine union, divine counterparts, like coming into union with somebody else that is, you know, has a similar mission or whatever that is, and being able to transfer that energy in a healthy way? Do you think that that still takes away from the ability, if it's the right person or soul, do you think that still takes away from the ability to create all that?
I would love that to be true. And you know, if you asked me a year ago or 2 years ago, I would have said that was nonsense. I got very angry at women when I was young because I got hurt quite a lot, and I'm very open-hearted but then guarded. And, you know, you're dealing with each other's traumas, et cetera, et cetera. And so I went through this painful stage, and I used to, you know, I got into all of the red pill content with the male content. And I generally just sort of abided by this idea that I'm not going to fall in love with a woman, and I can love women, but I'm not going to fall in love with them. And then, you know, my last relationship that, you know, it didn't end too long ago. I love her dearly. She's an incredible woman. And I realized that I am yearning for something so deep that I have to say no. It's just like everything in life. It's like you have to say no to the things that actually aren't a 10, as Carl Cease would call them, the 10-10-10. Mm. It's like if it's not a 10, if it's not like an absolute 10, it could be a 9.9 and you have to say no. And it even just comes with your inspiration and your ideas. It's like you have to say no, because I even felt trapped in the relationship because I felt guilty that like I felt she wasn't good enough for me. But it's like, that's not, she's a living, breathing human being. She cares for me. She nurtures me. She loves me, and incredible family, incredible values. And she's beautiful. And it was like, what is wrong with me, Fab? And it was like, the longer I was in the relationship, the more victimized I felt. And Kyle said to me, he was like, Fab, it doesn't sound to me that you've got commitment issues. It sounds to me that you're committed to your soul's path. And I thought, what a fucking perspective shift, that I felt like I had all of these problems, like, oh, my attachment style that she was trying to tell me and all of this stuff that I was victimized because actually I was too afraid to let go of somebody that I love in order to receive something that was always meant for me. And I believe that part of what I'm teaching people now is to get connected to who they truly are and allow that to attract to you what you are, right? And so if you're out of alignment, you attract somebody that's out of alignment. And if you're, you know, sort of somewhat in the know of what the sensation of your soul is, as I was, and again, asking friends and talking to people about it and trying to get other outside opinions, it's like, oh, something's not right. Something's like, I'm not sure about this, but she's this. And she's this. And so I was confused, because everybody's like, no, you're just thinking too much. And I'm like, no, I'm fucking not. The same way I'm not just going to accept a normal job. Yeah, right. So, so actually that was the biggest initiation, was letting go of somebody that I loved dearly. And then I felt free, but it was almost like my soul had to learn that lesson. And so to answer your question, I fucking hope that there's a divine union. And I've read David Dada's Intimate Communion book, and The Way of the Superior Man. And I dream of the day that I meet somebody that I'm in front of, and I look at her and I just think, like, I can't believe that I've bloody met you. Like, I can't believe it. And that I'm not going to settle for anything less than that. And I'll know when I know. Mm-hmm. I'll know when I know. Yeah.
That takes a lot of willpower and commitment, and that's beautiful.
I'm not going to say that I'm not going to be perfect. I'm going to be perfect on the way. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that, like, I'm going to be try be as seated in my soul about it as I can. And I am yearning for that now. I've had the experiences with women that I love, women that are my type. Mm-hmm. And now I'm looking for somebody that, like, speaks to my soul. And I can feel that. And I do believe now that I know what my soul feels like, the sensation of my soul, because of all the work that I'm doing, that it's going to feel the same. It's going to feel like home. It's not going to feel like anything other than that.
Beautiful.
I would like to think.
Yeah. Yeah, I could have a whole entire podcast on soulmate, divine union, relationships, sex, all of that.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing where you're at. Okay. Last question, and then I'll have you plug your handles and your website. Sure. Or where to find you. If you could broadcast one thing to every single person on this planet right now that would plant a beautiful seed, what would you say? Take your time with this one. This is obviously something I like to put my guests on the spot with.
We are always seeking the essence of what we truly are in all the things our eyes can see. And ultimately, no matter what you call it, we're seeking love. And when you devote your life to love, love emanates itself outside of you, and it affects people just by your presence. let alone the ideas and the things that will birth through you, because God will gift it through you for other people. That life can be like Christmas Day every day, because you will wake up for gifts, with gifts for other people. And that is where true fulfillment comes from. And the money and the love and all of the things that we sort of get taught that we want through Disney, they come as a byproduct. And these things that we sort of spend our time in sort of, you know, needing in order to fill us up, that if we just focus on becoming a more forgiving and more loving and more allowing and more understanding individual, an exceptional human being, as I call it, Christ-like, if we seek God through prayer and really try to integrate ourselves, then everything else just comes as a byproduct, which is a nice sort of circle back to the beginning of our conversation about people and us and our journey. So yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time, your energy,
thank you,
soul, your wisdom, all of it. If you would like to plug your handles and where people can reach you and connect with you, please do so.
Absolutely. So it's just Fabian Gray with an extra Y on the end, because my name was taken. I did try to message the guy and he didn't answer my DMs. And then it's Fab's Fault as well. Fab's Fault. And it was just basically about taking radical responsibility. Like, it's all my fault and I'm going to, you know, move from that place. And so, yeah, my website's being built. My school community is being built. And so you'll find me on Instagram. You'll find me on TikTok. And you'll find me on YouTube, and that's where I'll be. Fabian Gray is the name. And thank you very much, Danielle. It's been a lovely conversation, enlightening conversation, and I will speak to you very soon, I'm sure.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. One for the books, if I might say so myself. Please, please, please like, share, subscribe to us at Limitless Being Podcast, the Limitless Being Podcast on all platforms. Share this with a friend if you enjoyed it. All of this is to make you feel like you're not alone, that you're seen, that you're heard and supported in your awakening journey. So we are sending you so much love. Limitless Being Podcast on all platforms. Go like, go share it. And thank you for subscribing. We will see you next time. Love you all.